Good morning. Welcome to Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church. It is wonderful to gather on this fourth Sunday of Advent, and it is certainly a big Sunday in the life of this congregation. We gather and we have the opportunity to joyfully worship in this space for this coming hour, and then certainly invite all of you to return at 5 o'clock for the 85th annual Candlelight Carol service. Very much looking forward to that and seeing friends and family gather. And of course, there is a reception in our fellowship hall after that service this evening, and do hope that you will be able to be part of that. A couple highlights coming up. Know that Wednesday night suppers are done for this year. We will return meeting with our Wednesday night supper program on January 11th. Also, the next couple Sundays, we will not have our normal Sunday school hours. Sunday schools will return on Sunday, January 8th. Next weekend, of course, is unique. It is on Saturday, Christmas Eve, and on Sunday, Christmas Day. Hope that you and your family and loved ones can gather here in this sanctuary on Christmas Eve at 5 o'clock. And then, as we have worship every Sunday, we will have it Sunday morning, but on Christmas Day, worship will be at 10 a.m., not 11, 10. We will try to keep doing jumping jacks to remind you of that. We had a beautiful wedding here yesterday, and in the narthex, they had a hot chocolate station as sort of a reception. It was kind of a fun idea. They did a really nice job, and they actually left a lot of the station to us, including the Keurig machines. So Cheryl Jacobs is also going to have a hot chocolate station available to you who gather on Sunday morning for the Christmas Day service. I invite you now to stand wherever you are and greet some of the folks around you. Good morning. You okay? Are you? You're here, but not here, and we'll get. Invite you to begin finding your seats again as together we prepare our hearts and minds to worship the living God.
Welcome to the live broadcast of a service for the worship of God, which is coming to you from the sanctuary of Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church in Richmond, Virginia.
Today we relight the first three candles of the Advent wreath, the candle of hope, the candle of peace, and the candle of joy. We also light the fourth Advent candle, the candle of love. Jesus declared, "I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Today's candle reminds us of the shepherd's love for us. As Jesus declared, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends."
Please stand for the call to worship. Our souls magnify the Lord. The Mighty One has done great things for us.
Glory is God's name.
Let us worship God.
For God is our neighbor and our redeemer. Generation to generation, God gives mercy.
Once again, welcome to the live broadcast of a service for the worship of God, which is coming to you from the sanctuary of Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church at 1627 Monument Avenue in Richmond, Virginia. This is the 93rd year of radio ministry at Grace Covenant, and today's broadcast is number 4820. The Reverend Mr. Robert Holm Lippert is our pastor. This morning's sermon, entitled "The Name Above All Names," will be delivered by Reverend Mr. Holm Lippert. Assisting in the service today are Christopher Martin, our director of music and organist, the chancel choir, and as you just heard, lighting the fourth Advent candle, choir members Phyllis Muir, Dan Cook, and Aaron Cook. Our church is handicapped accessible with an elevator, wheelchairs, hearing assistance, and large print bulletins and hymnals. Child care is provided for infants, toddlers, and kindergartners. Worship kits are available for older children at the entrance to the sanctuary. Our opening hymn is "Angels from the Realms of Glory," which is number 168 in the hymn book.
Drawn corporately into a space of confession, not hoping that Jesus will somehow forgive us. No, the grace of Jesus Christ is so great that we stand even in this moment forgiven. We confess because love prompts honesty. And as we discussed in the sermon last week, when we open ourselves an honest confession, that is an open space for the Holy Spirit to continue God's good work of making us in Jesus Christ's image. We're going to corporately confess, and as you see at the end of that confession, there will be a time of silence where you can speak in your own way and respond to how God is prompting your heart. Let us pray. Living God, love incarnate, we confess that we are a broken people, holding to our ways rather than opening to yours. You who are everything, we acknowledge that we are lacking. Child of the manger, we admit that we prefer to be sentimental rather than sacrificial. Hear us now as we confess our faults and amidst our frailties. The mercy of the Lord is new every morning. And Jesus Christ, know this day you are forgiven and made new. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, any of our children who are 6 years and younger and who'd like to, you can join Mrs. Susan Bowes up front here at the door. She's going to be leading children's chapel, and parents, you can pick up your children there after the service of worship. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we come before your word, and we ask that you'd open our hearts and minds in such a way that what is heard is not interesting words or even a familiar story, but what is heard is in fact your very voice, your living word. And we pray that you would shape us and mold us further into your image because we have heard your word read and proclaimed and received it faithfully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Old Testament passage comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, verses 10 through 16. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you weary mortals, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted." The word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. And now our New Testament reading from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. It is preceded by 17 verses of genealogy, the roots of Joseph's family, Jesus' family, and it leads us to this story. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son. And he named him Jesus, the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. I wonder, do you ever get together with family or friends this time of year? And the meal goes long and folks unwind a bit more than usual, and you begin to reach into the family archives and memories start to flow. You remember great aunt so-and-so? How she always... What about when grandpa used to... You wouldn't believe the way your great uncle so-and-so did. I imagine there are some folk heroes in the mix of your family. Some favorite sons and daughters, some folks whose story it is a bit too painful to tell the whole thing, and some folks who just aren't really mentioned anymore. The first 17 verses of Matthew's gospel is like opening an Old Testament family album, and if you know the stories and the people, you can have a similar kind of moment. And I think for us to appreciate the scripture I just read from Matthew, verses 18 to 25, we need to appreciate at least a little something about those first 17 verses, because in many ways they are the foundation on which this section rests. And like I said, verses 1 through 17 are a family album. I'm not going to read them all. It's a long list of names you can see in your Bibles. It's a genealogy, though, listing all of the ancestors of Joseph, Jesus' earthly father. And the issue with this particular family album is that the talk about them is to bring up some very good memories, but also some fairly upsetting ones. One can imagine Joseph's family gathering around the table and someone says, well, now look, there's Abraham. Patriarch of our people. What a man of faith. They tell some stories, and then someone whispers, yeah, but I never forgave him for the time he lied and said Sarah wasn't his wife. I felt he was a coward when it really mattered. Oh, now look, there's Tamar. And no one says much more because everyone quietly knows that Tamar was the one who disguised herself as a prostitute so she could seduce and sleep with her father-in-law, and it's King David, someone chimes up, the pride and joy of our memory, a man after God's own heart, and oh, those psalms, and some of the psalms are even read around the table. But then someone does say, yes, King David, same one who took Bathsheba from Uriah, took the guy's wife, and then so that he could keep her, had Uriah murdered. Oh, now look, there's Rehoboam, Solomon's son, King David's grandson. And again, no need to say too much. Everyone knows the disappointment in this one. They had hopes to be a revolutionary for God. He came to the throne, and the elders, the older generation, gave him a counsel and says, be sure you treat the people well and you lift the burdens from them. Oh, but Rehoboam, he chose to listen to the peers his age. They advised oppositely. And much like today, when people don't really like to remember and unpack the details of holocausts or lynchings or people who disappeared under certain regimes, the family of God does not like to sit around and think about Rehoboam's opening speech as king. Whereas my father loaded you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, I will discipline you with scorpions. And he did. He led ruthlessly. He also took 60 concubines. He also set up alternative worship, turning entirely from Yahweh. The thing is, if you're Joseph's family, if you're the people of Jesus' lineage, and you're sitting around that table looking through the family album, you're going to chat about Rahab's boldness, but also the fact that she was a prostitute. King Solomon's wisdom, but also his 1,000 wives and the wealth built on the back of his own people. You are going to talk about good and faithful people in moments. But to be honest, you're going to talk about an album chock full of cowards, liars, cheaters, murderers, oppressors, adulterers, proud people who turned and worshipped an entirely different God. That is the lineage of Joseph. That is the family of Jesus. Importantly, The very first verse in this long list of family says this, Matthew 1:1, an account of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah. The root word there for genealogy, it's Genesis. Very purposeful allusion to the book of Genesis, where we recall that creation story. And that opening moment, you remember, when the darkness covered the face of the earth? And then God, with just using God's very words, speaks into the darkness and births creation. Light and dark and moon and stars and animals, fish, humanity. And it's done in this powerful, rhythmic way. It's good. It's beautiful. And Matthew, he wants to be perfectly clear. As in Genesis 1, when the good and beauty of creation burst forth from the darkness, so in this second Genesis, this new Genesis, it is from a lineage of dark deeds and dark hearts that Jesus is born. The first fruits of a new creation. Terrible soil. No one would choose at their foundation. That is where Jesus takes root. That is where love in the flesh is birthed. And I wonder how many of us this morning could flip open our own family album or our friend album, even our enemy album. We see those names and those faces in our lives or the news. And as much as we love some of them or at least know about them, we worry about the soil of their hearts. They keep making poor decisions. They can't shake the addiction. They bring this or that upon themselves every time. They really don't seem to care about God or the church. They're so incredibly caught up in themselves. Or for some of us, who are maybe a bit more honest, we're thinking of our own selves and the soil of our hearts that does seem so barren and lacking in godly nourishment. Why do we keep doing the thing we don't want to do? And yet the first 17 verses of Matthew declare that love in the flesh takes root in brittle, unlikely soil. Do we believe Jesus is taking root in the names and faces of our album? You look closely this Christmas season around you and even within you. Do you see a small shoot of green breaking from unlikely soil? We finally arrive at the scripture I read aloud, verses 18 to 25, and this is the part where that small green shoot of God life visibly breaks the earth's surface. Jesus is born. And you heard, verse 18 begins. Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. There's that word again, the Greek for birth. It's really Genesis. Now the Genesis of Jesus took place this way. And if the first 17 verses emphasize that this new Genesis is birthed in poor soil, verses 18 to 25 emphasize that the new Genesis is birthed in a poor situation. You heard, we read, Joseph and Mary are engaged. In that culture, that means really they're married for all intents and purposes, but they have not consummated the marriage. Then Joseph sees Mary's pregnant. They've not slept together. He assumes she has cheated on him. And in that society, it's a bad option and a worse option. Reporter to the legal religious authorities, and by law, she'll be stoned, very likely to death, or divorce her. And of course, that leaves her and the child destitute and likely desperate. Impossible situation for anything good at this point. Well, Joseph, we read, he's a righteous man, and so Matthew explains he's going to do the more merciful option and just quietly divorce her. And we read, Joseph was resolved in the lesser of the two bad options, and just as the door had been closed, we're going to go this way, an angel of the Lord appears. God shatters the impossible situation with a new word and a new way. Joseph, son of David. Notice how Matthew adds that descriptor, Joseph, son of David, as if to remind us that Joseph's connected to this soil from the first 17 verses. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He will be Emmanuel. God is with us. Just as in Genesis 1 and 2, where we see God walking with humanity in the cool of the garden, so now in the new Genesis, the promise is that God is to be born among humanity. And notice how the angel provides a way that was not even in the realm of Joseph's imagination. For us, for Joseph to remain with Mary, that sounds simple enough. But in that time, that is an option entirely outside the law, entirely outside of social custom, outside the list of viable ways things happen. How many of us, how many of our churches, how many of us this very day face a bad decision and a bad option and a worse option? And maybe how many of us have already resolved we're going to have to do this direction because it's the lesser of the two? And this scripture makes us ask, God, is there something else? Is there another way? Might your word shatter into this impossible bind and open up something new? Indeed, it would be 33 years later that even the law of death would not hold our God. 3 days later, he rose from the darkness of the grave alive. You see, from birth to death to resurrection, the story of Jesus is about our God of love being birthed from impoverished soil and impossible situations. And I can think of nothing more needful or relevant than that good news as we gather here on December 18th, 2016. Because as for me personally, I do not think I can keep looking at photos of majestic Aleppo now in ruins with its ashen-faced people carrying its dead people. And I don't think I can look at dear friends now divorcing. I don't think I can look at grieving family members gathering around Christmas. I don't think I can look at the quiet poverty in this city. I don't think I can look at the dwindling presence of the church in our country, the devastating heroin addiction also in our country. I don't think I can look at some of my own family members in my family album that have gone so far astray. I don't think I can look at the darkness squarely without a deep sense of despair and helplessness, unless I believe the Christmas message is real. Unless I believe, in fact, Jesus is born this day, born from the soil of cowards, liars, cheaters, murderers, oppressors, and adulterers, people who turn entirely from the living God. Unless I believe Jesus breaks ground from amid impossible situations. Do we believe the Christmas message? Do we believe no matter how dark it is out there or in here, no matter how impossible the bind, there Jesus is gestating. There Jesus is born. There Jesus is bringing forth a new Genesis. A few years ago, I was serving as an associate pastor in a church in Decatur, Georgia. Busy time of year like this, lots of programming, things going on. Also a season in the life of the church where the leadership was having a conversation common to many churches this day. Do we need to change some of our programs or the way we do worship? We're really not connecting with many new people and sharing Jesus and word and deed and ways that are really connecting beyond ourselves. Maybe we could change this program. Of course, that would be upsetting and for all of these reasons, and that'd be difficult. Or maybe we combine our worship services. Of course, that creates these issues. Certainly wasn't nearly as dire as Joseph's dilemma, but certainly a case filled with a bunch of not great and worse options for how to be faithful. Well, amid all the busyness and amid those stuck conversations, two folks come walking in the church on a normal Wednesday morning. Some of you know them. They used to worship here just briefly in 2012, 13, before they moved to Maryland. Their names are Ali and Mandana. Ali and Mandana were at that time graduate students at Emory University and Muslims from Iraq. For some unexplained reason, they took a day to look for a nearby Christian church, walk through the doors, and they asked the front desk receptionist, "Do you have a Bible that we can read?" In her years of handling requests, not once had that been the request. She was not precisely sure which Bible she should give, so she runs to the interim pastor, Joan Gray, and Joan walks out. She's floored in a good way by the question and wisely pulls the first two Bibles next to her and says, "Here, and they're yours. Keep them. Do you want to talk about what you read?" "Well, yes, they would like that." So a few days later, I end up getting looped into this whole thing, and I meet with them. We sit down. They say, we want to be Christians. You what? Become Christians. How do you do that? I would like to tell you that I, as a pastor, have these conversations every week. That I am so full of the love of God and speaking about the goodness of God's love in Jesus Christ that there's almost an attractiveness that happens and these conversations flow. But truth be told, people do not very often ask point blank to convert, especially people with no church background of another faith. And especially since I was not sitting there saying a word about conversion. No, they started in this way. Well, maybe you want to tell me a bit more about what's led you to this. Well, they go on to explain. They've been reading about Jesus and his message of freedom is beautiful. Freedom is the word that caught their heart over and over in reading about Jesus, born to take away the sins of the world, born to set the people free. So we talk on a couple or two, three different occasions for a few hours, and a few weeks later, they're up front in worship at this church in Decatur, Georgia. And they each take a microphone, and they share their testimony about Jesus and freedom. And then they knelt, and the water poured over them, and there was a new Genesis. Now, I'm cautious in sharing this story, lest anyone think all stories move in such a visibly incredible, surprising direction. We all know sometimes we wait far longer for the green shoot of Jesus to break soil. I'm also cautious in sharing this story, lest any here walk away and say, I knew it. We can just sit around, do whatever we want to do for a while, and God will birth the new thing. God will just kind of shuffle it right through the door. No, the remarkable thing I want to point out about this story is that to all outward appearances, this was the wrong soil from which the church might grow. Folks figured, and I don't know if we said it quite this way, but basically we needed some more middle-class white folks who maybe didn't like their Presbyterian church or the Methodist church down the road. They might come here. Some of the folks that grew up in the church just come back around. I mean, no one is looking at the Muslim community wondering, is Jesus growing there? And since that soil was so improbable that it was outside the realm of our imagination, we spent time debating how to do a program that other Christians might like. It may have been, Jesus just sent them through the door, and it may as well have been an angel of the Lord giving us a dream that shattered our entire paradigm for how things work. The truth is, we, the church, had gone astray. We were reconverted to the Christmas message through Ali and Mandana. Love incarnate is birthed in improbable soil in impossible situations. And again, it does not mean then we just sit back, relax, believe Jesus to go do his thing. No, our passage, it ends with, when Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife. There is an action to take in light of the hope that Jesus is born this day. We are called to act in accordance with the hope of the Christmas message. And so in a time when it is so easy to despair, may we be a people who step with Joseph, confident that Jesus is born in unlikely soil and unpromising situations. May we be a people who pray like it's true, sing like it's true, spend like it's true, have hard conversations like it's true, forgive like it's true, mentor like it's true, encourage like it's true, speak out like it's true. May we trust that our every small obedience is not for naught, but is in fact part of our watering the new Genesis, breaking ground on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. In response to God's word, I invite us to stand together as we sing O Little Town of Bethlehem.
You are listening to the live broadcast of a worship service at Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church. You have just heard this morning's sermon entitled, The Name Above All Names, which was delivered by the Reverend Mr. Robert Holm Lippert. The congregation will now join in singing O Little Town of Bethlehem, which is number 43 in the Presbyterian hymnal.
Let us confess together what it is that we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us join in prayer. Our loving God, we praise you because in you is the fullness of love and justice, mercy and compassion, life this day, and life eternal. We give thanks, for truly you are born among us this day. You walk with us in the cool of our day as well as in the shadow of the night and every time between. We offer thanks. We are grateful for new mercies, surprising moments of encouragement, doors recently opened that we did not expect, unexpected guests in our lives and unexpected healings. We give thanks for all the many ways we have seen your new life break soil in surprising and beautiful ways. We give thanks, too, that you saw fit to come among us in the flesh by being born amid impoverished soil in an impossible situation. And so we lift to you such soil, such situations in our day. We are mindful of those in our lives and the world who have shown forth a spirit of cowardice, those who have lied to us or about us, to themselves, those who have taken the life of another, some in prison and some walk free. We are mindful of those who oppress entire people groups and countries. We think of those who have cheated on a spouse, those who get so caught up in worshiping the God of materialism and comfort and security. God, it does not take long for us to see there is so much rough soil around us, even within us. Thank you, Jesus, that by grace, that turns out to be the perfect soil for you to take root and be born. We pray in confident hope that you would show forth your life and your love and your justice in these various soils. Let us see this day a green shoot of new life breaking forth among these unlikely people, even among us. We offer prayer too for those who this day are facing illness or even death. We ask that you would assure them that death did not prove too strong for you. Assure them that with you, death will not have the final say. Life will. Life does. And now we enfold our every prayer into the one you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In response to God's gracious word, we are invited and called to give ourselves and certainly steward our finances in a way that reflects God's generosity. In this space in worship, you may discern with the Holy Spirit how God is calling you to give in response to God's goodness. As well, you have those communication cards in your bulletin, I'll remind you to let us know that you're here, and certainly let me and let the care team know if there are specific ways we can be praying for you or giving thanks alongside you in this season. You're invited now to give as you're led.
You live on high from heaven for the shadows.
give thanks to you, Christ, our brother, born among us in the night, born amid impoverished soil and impossible situation. We give thanks that you have taken root in our lives, and we ask that you take these, our financial gifts, and use them in such a way that your Spirit deepens your roots in our hearts and grows wide, that this whole world might know the goodness of your Christmas message and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Invite us to remain standing as we sing together, "Go, Tell It on the Mountain." Reminder, immediately after this service, you're invited down to our social room at the end of the hallway, food and drink and a time to catch up and meet. And then you are invited back just a few hours from now, 5 o'clock, our 85th annual Candlelight Carol service. Hope to see you there. Certainly invite family and friends to be part of that magnificent service of worship. The Christmas message, Jesus is born among us. And from impoverished soil and impossible situations. May we join with Joseph and take that next small step the Spirit has put on our heart and do so in hope. And as you go, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you this day and always. Amen.
the past hour, you have been listening to the worship service at Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church in Richmond, Virginia. Please join us again next Sunday through our radio ministry or in our sanctuary at 1627 Monument Avenue. You also are welcome to join us this evening at 5 p.m. for the 85th Annual Candlelight Carol Service. If you're unable to attend, this service will be broadcast during this time slot next Sunday at 11 a.m. Our Christmas morning service in the sanctuary will occur at 10 a.m., but will not be broadcast. Your announcer today has been John Harris, and the engineers were Steve Kemp and Cameron Baird. This service streams live and can be accessed through the church's website, which is grace-covenant.org. We now return you to Christian Talk Radio on WLES.